I sought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Of course, the Lord caused him to write the words and everything. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, then am I strong. As we all go through certain trials in our life, the overview says that come with no explanation or obvious purpose. We often face these trials. Our initial response is to pray to God to take them away. But during moments of weakness, God can demonstrate His power and His love in personal way. Our greatest need is God's greatest opportunity. So as we think about these things, we think about the things that God has allowed us to do, and God is giving us goals to go by and so forth. The lesson goals are at the end of the lesson, but I want to read them right now. The lesson goals are, number one, we should understand the importance of the thorns or the trials. Thorn in the flesh, we've heard that many times. And God gives us sometimes trials to make us strong, to make us be what we ought to be. And then number two, we understand the need to rely on God's strength. Sometimes we try to rely on our own strength and we just get in trouble. But when we rely on God's strength, we can make it through the day, the week, the month, the year, or whatever situation comes in our life. Understand the limited power of our own strength. And so we must realize that in our own strength, sometimes we just don't get anything accomplished, but we must try to do our very best to follow God's instructions. We understand, there again, the importance of the thorns and so forth, and we need to rely on God and His power, not our power. Do you ever feel too weak to go through the situations the Lord allows us in our life? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we get up and we just don't feel like today's going to be a good day. I'm going to have all kind of problems today and I don't know what to do. Well, I'm thankful that God can help us and He will tell us what to do in His Word, but He will go with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So if we feel inadequate to fulfill our responsibilities, we must turn to the Lord and depend on the Lord. You know, it's a miracle to me. I've often thought, how many people does God have to take care of all at one time? Well, the only reason He can do it is because He's God. He's God. We're not God. Some people try to act like it. They try to do the very best they know how, and they don't think that they have time to talk to God, or they don't believe in God. Some people don't believe in God. They're miserable people. And so when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God Himself, then we know that we're going to be, people are going to notice our relationship with God. Do you ever feel inadequate to be a good parent or a good husband or a good wife or a friend? Sometimes, you think about this and you say, well, I don't know whether I'm good enough to be what I ought to be. Well, we're never good enough to be what we ought to be. But with God's help and strength And God will help us through every situation in life. We can be a good parent. We can be a good husband or wife. We can be a good friend. Everyone ought to have friends. Sometimes through our lifetime, we find people who have no friends. And it's their fault. Because they just don't seem to want friends. They want to get in a corner somewhere and feel sorry for themselves. Well, you know, we shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves. While we face the feelings of that we have, our weaknesses, we must remember that we have a Heavenly Father whose strength has no limits. God is not limited at all. And there's nothing He can't do. Nothing He can't do. God can do anything. There's a little chorus. God can do anything, anytime, anywhere. God can do anything but fail. That's the chorus. And I'm not going to sing it for you this morning, but that's what it says. God can do anything but fail. And our greatest need is God's greatest opportunities. God always wants us. God always wants us to put our faith and trust in Him. When we go through a thorn in the flesh, we must pray for God's strength. God's strength. There are three things in this lesson from this passage. The first one is the astonishing thorn. The astonishing thorn. As we think about thorns in the flesh, we think about troubles and trials and situations that we have. And sometimes we feel like we're inadequate to be a good mom or a good dad or a good whatever it might be. But while we face all these feelings of weakness, there's good news. We have a Heavenly Father who has strength for our need. Strength for our every need. So the lesson is the astonishing thorn. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 and 8, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." And A under this is what came. What came? And the Greek word for thorn in verse number 7 is S-K-O-L-O-P-S, scallops. That's not something you eat, but it's something that we have. This is different from a crown of thorns that was placed on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek word for thorns in the passage is in Matthew 27:29. It's akantha, which means A-K-A-N-T-H-A. It means literal thorns. And so as we think about these thorns, we realize that God is on the throne, and we ought to thank God for the very fact that He's there. He's looking down upon us. He understands our every need. Sometimes we just feel like we can't get through the day because of a situation or because of a problem. But God said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there for us. And so on. And as we think about these words, the word scallops refers to the prickle or spike and refers to a disability. I tell you what, sometimes we think that we're suffering and we're hurting, but we only know that it was painful for Paul. The Apostle Paul asked the Lord three times to take his thorn away, but God chose not to. Now, God has an ability to say yes or no. God chose not to because the very fact that He wanted to use the Apostle Paul and He wanted him to he wanted him to be handicapped or weak on part of his body with pain and sickness so he could be a giant for God. Paul was a giant for God. The Apostle Paul is all through the New Testament. And so anyway, when the thorn came, the Greek word for thorn there, I get again, was scallops. It's different from the thorn that was placed on Jesus' head. He mentioned being in Christ, concerning himself. That's what the Apostle Paul did. And thank the Lord that Christ was with him. Paul had an opportunity to see the third heaven. No one else beside the Apostle Paul was able to go to the third heaven. We see the sky, we see the heaven, and then the heaven is where God dwells, the third heaven. And no one else other than, humanly speaking, has seen that except the Apostle Paul. But when we have a thorn in the flesh, it's to keep us from pride. Sometimes we just have all kinds of problems, and sometimes people have a problem of pride. Most of us, we're not really interested in people who are so proud of their self that, we're around them sometime, we speak with them, but we don't like to be around them that much. We have to go to the valley in order to be close to the Lord. And then not only when did it come, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. But we also notice here why it came and so on. So let me turn over here so I can read what it has to say. Why it came. There are multiple reasons why the Lord would allow a thorn in the flesh. Here's one of them. The hunger of self. Paul's thorn came to create hunger within him for God. Not a hungry eating type of thing, but a hunger that he might be close to God. One of the main reasons why our thorns come to us as well. We grow in our Christian lives. It's easy to become consumed when we decide to let the Lord have our life. And so we do things for God, and we don't need to neglect the things that the Lord would have us to be. We read our Bible and try to follow the precepts of the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is completely for us. And so the Apostle Paul was hungry for the thorns to be away so that he could be closer to God. Now, why did the thorns come? Mary and Martha in the Bible focused her service for God while Mary focused her, Martha focused her service for God while Mary focused her love for God. There's a difference. Service and a love for God. Things versus someone else or someone for God. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42, the Bible said, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Things are in our way sometimes. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." It was her love for the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord allows us to have a thorn in the flesh, we come to see just how much we need Him. We need the Lord. And a thorn in the flesh forces us to step aside from everything. We're going to look at Christ and what He's done. God has done everything for us. Satan doesn't like us. He hates us. But God loves us. When the Lord allows us to have a thorn in the flesh, we can see how much we need Him and how close to Him we can be. As I said, Satan hates us. Why does he hate us? Because if we love God, we're going to be with God for eternity. Satan was cast out of heaven because he tried to be God. And he hates that. And he's going to, Satan's goal is to destroy us if possible. But God's goal is to show us His power, God's wonderful power. And thank God for the power that He has. Sometimes we try to do things in our own power, but we ought to just pray and say, "Lord, help me." Those are three words that we ought to ask often. Lord, help me. We need the help of God. Consider the story of Job. God gave Satan permission to attack Job and so forth. And it tells us here in verse number, Job chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So the Lord allowed Satan to go to Job and to try to not let Job have what he wanted. But Job experienced nearly every type of hardship that a person could possibly imagine. Yet through the trials, Job acknowledged the power of God. When we sometimes go through trials and we turn ourselves to the Lord and we pray to Him and ask His divine help, He will help us. And it's a wonderful fact. In Job 23 and verse 10, the Bible said, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Let me read it again. There's even a song written on that. "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me." Why does God try us or allow us to be tried? It says we shall come forth as gold. God wants us to be His person. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart. The book of Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. It's testified over 3,000 years before for the power of God. As a result of Job's trials, God's power was manifest. As a result of our trials, God's power is displayed. God loves us, and He takes care of us. Our greatest need is God's opportunity to show us His strength. God's strength. We don't need our strength when we have God's strength. You know, sometimes we try to do everything in our own, and we don't depend on the Lord. But we ought to depend on the Lord. And then number three, the honoring of the Savior. The thorn in our flesh is our way to honor the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our greatest need is not only God's greatest opportunity, but it's our opportunity to honor the Lord, and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 10, it says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches," this is Paul speaking, "in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know, sometimes we say, well, how can that be? When I am weak, then I'm strong. It's when we put our faith and our trust completely in the Lord. As we endure trials, we can honor our Savior by coming to Him and seeking His strength. And He will give us His strength. Whatever our need is, we can come to Him. Remember, He is our Heavenly Father, and there's nobody on this planet who could ever love us more than God does. Our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents, our friends, our loved ones, all love us, and we love them, and that's a wonderful thing. But when we stop and think about how much God loves us, in fact, think about this verse, "For God so loved the world." I like that word "so." It's the biggest little word I know. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved us that much. God loved us so much. And it's a wonderful fact that God loves us. The book of Job is probably the oldest, as I said, the oldest book in the Bible. And it results in Job's trials. But it makes us strong when we go through the trials that we have to go through. In Hebrews 4 and verse number 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I like that word grace. It's not only a name, but it's a word in the Bible. And it's a wonderful thing to realize the throne of grace, where God is in charge and God is looking out for us and God is taking care of us. And then the second truth is the astonishing truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, it said, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When we're weak, then we're strong because of him. Then it says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's the Apostle Paul speaking. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses." Now notice the next three words. "For Christ's sake." For Christ's sake. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." The Apostle Paul had to spend many hours, days, weeks, months in jail, in prison, because he was hated. You know, he was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to begin with. And then when he came, in fact, he was going to kill Jesus. He was going to try to do everything he could to try to keep Christians from being helped. And then on the road to Damascus, God spoke to him. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." And so Paul became a Christian. And all the people that followed him before tried to hurt him the rest of his life. And he got put in jail for many, many days and weeks and hours and months and even years. And so because of what this thorn did in Paul's life, he was overwhelmed, he was overruled, he was overjoyed. He learned that the thing that he thought was holding him back was the thing that was making him better, not bitter. He was bitter before he became a Christian, but he was better after he got saved. And you know, it's a wonderful thing for someone to trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and their life is turned around, their life is completely changed. You know, that's something that we sometimes don't stop and really realize how important it is. But then it's through weakness here that we are strengthened. We're weak, but in our weakness, we are strong. Strength comes out of weakness. The times when we're cast down, discouraged, defeated, we can become the strongest we've ever been. But for when I'm weak, then am I strong. We learn that from the Word of God. When we're weak, we're strong. What's the most, think about the most trials that you've ever had in your life or you'd experienced. But we want to quit, don't we, when we have a trial or when trouble comes along. But we don't need to do that because we know that even through the hardships and the things that cause us to wonder, yet God is there with us. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Through weakness, we are perfected. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians number 12 and verse number 1. Let me find that verse. I think I went past it. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Yes. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 9 and 10. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for in my strength is perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." I read that, but I wanted to read it again. Because of what this thorn did for Paul's life, he was overwhelmed and he was overruled and overjoyed. He was really used of God in a mighty way. If we were to name one person in the New Testament outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that we thought might be the most important person in the Christian's life, it would be the Apostle Paul, I believe, because of what he did and what he allowed God to do through him. It's an amazing, amazing thought what God can do. My text here says, the thing that we think is holding us down the most may be what is helping us the most. We must first be empty before He will fill us. We must be broken before He will fix us. We must be needy before He will give to us. We must be cast down before He will lift us up. That's all between us and God. And so we need to realize that God's on our side. And we need to be on God's side. And then we also notice through weakness, we are perfected. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. From this verse, this Greek word, we get the word Jesus uttered as an agonized. Well, let me read it again. There's one Greek word for the phrase, is made perfect. That's found in 2 Corinthians 12, 9. From this Greek word, we get the word Jesus uttered as He agonized on the cross. In His sixth statement on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. And Jesus gave up the ghost. Jesus died for us. It is finished. When we're strengthened through Him, our strength is completed. And it's perfected. It's finished. We don't need to add anything to the strength that He gives us. It's enough to meet whatever our needs may be. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is with us and He never will leave us nor forsake us. If we ever find ourselves feeling sorry for ourselves or desperate in our flesh, we can go back to God and He will help us. The Greek word in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 is the word Jesus uttered on the cross when He said in the sixth hour, it is finished. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When we're strengthened through Him, our strength is completed. Our strength is perfected. It is finished. We need nothing else. His strength is perfect and sufficient for any need that we might face. Jesus told His disciples, I think I turned two pages instead of one. That's easy to do. Let me get on. Okay. The Almighty Triumph is the next point, and so on. But on page 96, it tells us that Paul gained spiritual victory though he had the thorn in the flesh. And we have to recognize our weaknesses. Our weaknesses come because we don't put all of our faith and trust in the Lord. When we recognize our own inability, we put ourselves in a position to find the power of God. When we acknowledge that we're weak, then we can give God opportunity to make us strong, His power. We must rely on His strength, and so on. As we rely on His strength, in addition to recognizing our own weakness, we realize our desperate need for the Lord's strength. And so, if Paul was unable to bear his thorn in the flesh, apart from the fire of Christ, we can admit the same thing about our thorn, a thorn in the flesh. There's no reason for any child of God to try to bear his burdens alone. God isn't interested in using people who are proud and puffed up, but He's interested in using people who are interested in being the kind of a believer that they ought to be. Some of the people God used in the Bible are Moses, the stutterer. Moses stuttered, but God used him anyway. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 and 12, 10 through 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." So that was Moses. God used Moses in a mighty way. Then God used David also. David was called the short one. I guess he wasn't very tall. I don't know. Must have been short. God gave Samuel the instructions to choose the next king of Israel, David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Jesse assumed that David wouldn't be the son chosen to be the king, but he was. And then we find David was the one that God chose to use as the king of Israel. And then we also not only see David the short one, we see the lad with the lunch. All of us know the story about the lad that had the lunch, and Jesus fed all the people, the thousands of people that were there. After preaching to thousands of people, Jesus' disciples came and said that the people were hungry and they needed to eat. And what are we going to do? We don't have much. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith to him, "There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, much as they would. When they were filled, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, is Jesus God? He certainly is. He took just those five loaves and two fishes and fed those thousands. And if Jesus is all power and can do all that, it's a wonderful thing that we ought to be able to put our faith and trust completely in Him. And so on. And as we think about it, it's a wonderful thing to think about. The lad's lunch. And after preaching to the thousands of people in the desert, Jesus' disciples were able to eat and so forth. And thank God for that. Now, Jesus told the disciples to go find the food, but what they found was a small amount, and Jesus made it a great, great amount. So as we think about this, in conclusion, insufficiency is a prime qualification for those who will be used of God. It's not enthusiasm, personality, or eloquence that God uses. God uses people who admittedly are weak and dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Consider the tragedy that happens when we selfishly demand the Lord to give us what we want. And I want to close with these verses. The insufficiency is a prime qualification for those that will be used of God. But in Psalm 106, verse 7 through 15, it says, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provided him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them from his namesake, that he might make his mighty power be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths and through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated him, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered the enemies. There was not one left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. He gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul." Sometimes when we completely are consumed by our own desires, God goes ahead and gives them to us. That's a scary thought. We need to depend on the Lord, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Rather than praying for the Lord to give us what we want, we ought to ask Him to give us what we need. We'll never find ourselves in a trial which His strength is not sufficient. Come to Him in your come to Him and trust in Him with all your heart. Talk to Him as your Heavenly Father, and so on. There was an illustration, I didn't use it, but there was an illustration about a jar, and the lid was so tight that this wife could not get the jar unloosed. And so she gave it to her husband and gave him the jar, and he unloosened the jar. You think that made him feel strong, made him feel muscular and whatever, and made her feel proud? You see, God can do anything. And our Heavenly Father, when we don't think we can get something done on our own, we depend on Him, because God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so God is waiting for His power for us to depend on Him, and so forth. And then we will never find ourselves in a trial for which His strength is not sufficient. God's strength is sufficient. He's there waiting with open arms to empower us with His all-sufficient grace. And that's what our lesson is all about. Grace for every need. When you need grace, just depend on the Lord, because He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Next Sunday we'll be speaking about the law of the harvest. And so we'll be studying on that. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your blessings this morning. I pray that You bless the service to follow now, and thank You for each one that's here today. And Lord, help us as we hear and understand and receive Your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.